Next, we will have the Vice President and Controller Walter Knorr for a financial update. And for the new student trustees, we always look forward to this part of our presentation for both the content and the entertainment. Walter.
Hope we don't let you down. The first slide, I wanted to first start with what I would call just the headlines from our meeting on May the 7th, what's happened since then. First item, of course, no surprise to anybody, we still have a budget impasse at the state. Yesterday, Senator Cullerton, President of the Senate, called for kind of a start over on the whole budget process. Right now, they're talking about the Senate not coming back until August the 4th. So you basically have that span of time before anything may happen. But who knows? Something could happen. As far as what happened at the end of the session, they did pass a budget. The legislature did pass a budget. It's widely reported that budget is roughly $3 to $4 billion short as far as revenues to cover the expenses for that budget was passed. Almost immediately, the governor vetoed the majority of that budget, vetoed our particular piece, which was House Bill 4147. That piece was vetoed, and that piece basically had us with a $57 million reduction with that piece. The only piece that he did not veto, and actually the governor did sign, is for K through 12. It was basically to keep the funding going for elementary and secondary education. On the other side of, so now what we're looking at is basically the two ends of the goalposts here are we have the $57 million reduction that basically was the legislature had, and we have the governor's budget, which is $209 million. So that's the spread we're looking at right now. And of course, whether or not that's going to all be, and whether or not that's going to be, we're going to be somewhere in the middle of that or wide left or wide right remains to be seen. And also the composition of that reduction, whether or not it's going to be all appropriation or could there be some cost sharing involved in coming to a final conclusion there. But again, it's totally an impasse. No capital bill, no further pension reform, no further movements on pension reform, no agreement on revenues with the state. We saw a suspension of some state grants to the university, and we also saw suspension of some capital projects. And I'll talk a little bit more about those in a second, but that was another concern. We did meet the July payroll. We're meeting the July payroll based on our authority approved by the board at the May meeting, and using our existing resources to make those payments, make that payroll, and continue to do that. UA had a hiring freeze was instituted on July the 1st and is in place. A couple other things. There was a committee on higher education executive compensation last Monday. By and large, there was very little about higher education. It was mostly focused on the situation out here in DuPage County. And lastly, there was some committee hearings on affordability, and that was held earlier in the month, and that was weathered that. Now, how does this affect, our budget? Of course, we would expect with, in this continued delay, that we're going to see a delay in our operating budget and preparing our operating budget because of the extent of the spread and what could happen and the composition of what might happen as far as the reduction. So we're going to see that. We have to move, we on our salary program, whether or not a salary program, that's undetermined, but we're going to have to come to some conclusions very quickly on that because we do have to prepare a document for the appointments for the next meeting. This is the annual contracts for university employees, and that has to happen, so we have to move at least from that standpoint. The campuses and the university administration have been working on a number of budget reduction scenarios, 10, 20, 30% reduction scenarios. They've been working on that in contemplation of what's been going on with the state budget. We do have $114 million receivable from FY15 on the appropriation that I expect to collect. I see no reason why not. We should not be able to collect that was fully appropriated after the rescission, and so that we should be getting that. All, of course, always subject to the vagaries of the state cash flow. Also, the Medicaid payments, we have concern about the 16 bills, but we should be continuing to receive Medicaid payments for the FY15 bills. That should continue to happen. I'm going to go into just a second about what the squeeze is on higher education as far as the budget is concerned, because of the operating budget of the state. He did sign on and basically to hold harmless K-12, which is well over a quarter of the operating budget of the state of Illinois, and he also has to basically feed the pensions, which is a substantial portion of the operating budget. So he basically is almost a third of the operating budget is pensions. So he has to do that, the state has to do that. So, that's what's creating the squeeze on higher education and the rest of the budget. And lastly, as far as the budget is concerned, we normally would end our cycle. We would be planning for FY17 for our procedural submission to IBHE. And again, I think that's just basically being delayed behind the preparation of the operating budget. They take just a minute to talk about the state budget situation, just to kind of how we fit into the state budget. I'm using the FY15 budget for the state for this purpose, really kind of concentrate. When you hear about the state budget, you'll hear a big number of like $65 billion, of which only about $31 billion is the operating budget or the general funds budget. When we talk about the all funds, that includes things like the road funds and the debt service and the debt and all that. But this is the true operating is the $31 million. And if we look at this, you can see that higher education is about 11% of the total operating budget of the state of Illinois in 15. And when you look at what makes up the biggest pieces, when you take a look at elementary and secondary education, health care, including that would be Medicaid payments would be in there, and human services, that's two-thirds of the operating budget. So you can see that when you basically are keeping up with those, you put a squeeze on the rest of the budget. When we take a look at higher education as it basically fits, higher education is about 11% of the total operating budget in the University of Illinois. When you look at higher education piece of the operating budget, $3.5 billion. University of Illinois, we're 18% of that number, and we're bigger than the rest of the other eight publics as far as the share of the operating budget. But again, you can see the SERS eating up 44% so it is basically, that's basically causing a tremendous drain. You look over and look at, 10 years ago, how much it was only about 11% was going to SERS. So you can see basically the drain on the budget for higher education going to the pension fund. One of the big things is pension, and this is what I talked about. This is basically the contributions, the required contributions by law that the state has to make, and this is what's eating up so much of the budget. Almost a third of the operating budget is going to pensions, and it basically is not only the cost of pensions to pay off the amortize the unfunded liabilities and the normal cost, but it also has in there big borrowings that the state of Illinois did. $10 billion borrowing in 2003 and another a note that they did, basically with a shorter term payoff. So you have big payoffs of debt service also being required for pensions. But almost a third of the operating budget is going to pensions required by law. Take a look at our situation. The total unfunded liability, the last one we looked at for all of the state pension funds, was $105 billion. And we take a look at what belongs to SERS, what the unfunded liability is for SERS, it's $20 billion. If there's any good news, you can see the ramp up of what it costs. Obviously, some of the ramp up there between 2007 and 2009 is basically the loss of asset values in the market. And then now you also see some more ramp ups, and this is basically a reduction in the investment return assumptions that are basically coming through. So, but that's basically a tremendous uphill set of numbers. But SERS for us is $20 billion. Our share, we estimate our share of that is about $9 billion, would be the University of Illinois share of the unfunded liability. So the unfunded liability for the good news that will appeal to two people in this room, including me, and then I rounded up, would be that the new accounting standard, we do not have to put that $9 billion liability on our balance sheet. There is a special funding provision, and we have to disclose the heck out of it. But certainly, if we had to put that $9 billion liability on our balance sheet, that would have completely wiped out our net position of the university. So, but we and many other universities across the country and governmental entities are facing that problem. But we have the special funding provisions because the state of Illinois acknowledges that they have the obligation for the pension, and they have the obligation to make payment on it. So that's the way we were excluded. Move on very quickly. Payments on behalf always comes up as a subject, and particularly for a couple of the new trustees. Total payments on behalf, we're looking at about $1.1 billion for FY15, the year we just closed. About $660 million of that belongs to pension, with the state paying the pension liability for us, and the rest of it belongs to health care benefits. And we break down the pension piece. Approximately $215 million of that is the normal cost. And this is where I have a concern that we will start being asked to pick up some of that cost in a cost-sharing arrangement with the state. So for we look at normal costs as being in total 20% of payroll, and the employers are contributing 8%, so we're looking at 12% is represented by that $215 million. So every roughly 1% that they ask us to pick up would be about $20 million in cost to the university. This is just a very quick snapshot of just basically the descent of the appropriation. This is in constant dollars. At the tail end here, I should basically show you the two versions of as I referred to, the goalposts. FY16, the lower one on 16, that's the governor, that's a $209 million drop. And the furthest right column, this is with a $57 million drop in it. But this basically records the history of our GRF, or of our appropriation for the last 15 years. And it shows also the reds are the rescissions that we received, including the rescission we had in FY15 of $18 million. But this basically shows you the history. And again, over this period of time, with that drop, we have an increase of over 10,000 students at the University of Illinois. Very quickly on the capital, again, no capital bill. What I've shown here is basically the last time was 2010 when we had the last capital bill. We had several projects, particularly renovation projects, and some of those particular projects were still in process and handled by the Capital Development Board. Again, some of those projects were basically suspended. And just this week, when we've been able, particularly on the renovation piece, been able to enter into some agreements, memorandum of understandings with the Capital Development Board that we can use our institutional funds to continue the projects, which will be helpful so that we don't, obviously a shutdown of a project can become very costly. The biggest piece here again is this constant suspension of the ACT building, the chemical technology building here in Chicago. That's the big piece that basically continues to languish as far as being having the funds coming forth. Pretty much, this is basically the percentage of completion of these projects, including the ones that were suspended, and then basically picking up, particularly up there in the top line, the renovation projects that we're going to pick up and continue on with our own monies. Going now to being paid, the state right now looked like they ended, based on what the controller said, basically ended the year with about $6 billion of bills to be paid. We are paid like any other vendor in the state of Illinois. We don't get any special privilege. We basically get into the queue as we bill and are put into the queue for payment. So $6 billion, that's about 20% of the overall FY15 appropriation. We remained unpaid by the state of Illinois. But when you look at our situation as of the end of the fiscal year and to date, we have billed all of the appropriation to the state for FY15, $644 million. That's, of course, after the rescission. We took $18 million off of that. And we have collected $529 million, so it leaves $114 million is the receivable I referred to earlier. And you can see it's fairly comparable to the prior year. And you can see basically coming out of some of our very severe years where we basically had a tremendous backup and we had well over $500 million of receivables during the course of the year. Tuition, very quickly, as we finished tuition, just a quick report on the $1.1 billion budget, we were right at there as far as the billings, the collections, including the MAP funds, $59 million of MAP funds. And we're consistent year to year as far as basically the budget collections and billings and collections. very quickly, I think Dr. Ghosh is making a presentation, but all I'll say on the hospital, which we watch very carefully, this shows that we have about a $2.9 million shortfall as of May 31st at the hospital. The good news is I think that they're going to end the year with a positive, and I think they're one of the things they're doing is they're picking up a substantial portion of or a substantial payment for disproportionate share, the DSH payments. This is a payment that we receive. It's substantially more than what's been accrued. It's a payment, a federal payment for hospitals that serve indigent and poor patients, and so they accrue at a certain level. It looks like the number's going to come in substantially higher and push the hospital into a positive but also great accolades to the hospital people for basically controlling costs. You'll see that salaries and wages are down versus budget, and they've kept the volumes up, and in part of that's coming with the Medicaid and what's going on in the world in the Affordable Care Act. I'll finish on just a quick note. Somebody asked me from the last presentation, what happens if you took Northwestern out of the, and just showed the Publix in the Big Ten, and basically what percentage of academic support, and again, this is the administration within the academic, within the academy side, and how it compares to the rest of the Big Ten. And here the median, this is with all expenditures for these universities, for all the, only the publics, the median was 7.7% was the median percentage of academic support. And you can see we're at 8.97%. We're fifth in line, and you can see it's interesting. Indiana and Minnesota are the leaders of the pack. But you see that also some of the ones, Michigan, Ohio State down here at the far end, and that's really because, and the reason they're down there is because their medical centers basically eat up so much of that administrative costs with the ratios there. So if you take out, in the last slide, if you take out the medical centers, you can see that Iowa, it was also very far to the right. They have a big medical center, so how far they push all the way up to the front. We don't change really position in this. But the median, if you take out the medical centers, is 9.3%, and we're at 10.6% is our position. So again, somebody asked me to basically take Northwestern out, see if it distorted it, if we just looked at it versus the public. So that's basically, of course, something that we're focused on. And that's the conclusion of my comments.
Okay.
Unless you would like me to add,
we'll open to questions. Just one to go back to on slide 9, Walt, you talk about the GRF and the decline in that. It would be interesting to look at that on a per student basis, because that decline is even more pronounced if you look at it on a student basis. You may know that number, but
I think probably best for me to just get you that,
fine.
That number. I'm sure Randy probably has it in the top of his head and carries it around and produce
it. It's significant, but you made the point with what'd you say, 10,000 more students over that period of time than what's there. More comments, questions relative to the financial information? Hearing none. Walter, thank you very much.